This is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. Last year, the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation made history when it became the first federally recognized Native American nation in Illinois since the mid-1800s. The tribe's homelands are in the Great Lakes region, but many of its members were forced from that land. For generations, the nation has argued that some of that land in northern Illinois was illegally sold to white settlers. Nowadays, the nation is based in Kansas. But over the years, it's been slowly buying back parts of its original reservation in Illinois. And earlier this year, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a law to transfer ownership of Shabana Lake State Park to the tribe. That park, incidentally, is named after 19th century Potawatomi Chief Shabni. And with me now to talk about that history and the significance of the latest developments is one of Chief Shabni's direct descendants. Rafael Wawasak is a member of the Prairie Band Tribal Council, and he joins me in studio in Urbana. Rafael, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Listeners, in order to make our schedules meet, we taped this conversation with Rafael yesterday afternoon. Because of that, we can't take your calls live, but you can always let us know what you think about our program by sending us an email. Our address is talk@21stshow.org. Rafael, let's start off. Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the Prairie Band Potawatomi?
Yeah, so again, thank you for having me. Rafael Wawasik, and I serve as a member of our tribal council, a position that I've been fortunate to hold for the last 7 going into 8 years now. We have a 7-member council. All of those positions are elected by our membership. And we have, you know, staggered 4-year terms. And so I'm into a second term with our council and, you know, feel very fortunate to be able to serve in that capacity, you know, for our people. Myself, I'm originally from Kansas, you know, grew up on the reservation with my grandparents there and, you know, have our family has always been involved in sort of some of the history of our folks and in different time periods have stepped up to different leadership roles within the community. And so from a very young age, you know, the story of the land here in Illinois was always impressed upon me of the significance and, you know, the fact that we did have these treaties, these legal contracts with the United States that still held some of these lands or should have held some of these lands for our people. And that was always something, you know, that we had talked about and how to correct the situation as it was.
And can you tell me a little bit about your upbringing? What was it like to grow up on the reservation and to be immersed in understanding this part of your history?
Yeah, so my experience as a child was, you know, one of community. We had relatives around, you know, quite frequently at home, and you know, we visited with our relatives. You know, we had extended family, and the community would always come together to support one another in times of need, also in times of plenty. You know, I think about many times, you know, we would help folks out, you know, when it was time to harvest gardens and those types of things. And I mean, it was a really different time for our community in Kansas. You know, we have a casino today, which was a major economic boon for us as it provides, you know, infrastructure, public services such as paramedics and fire. We are the only fully staffed 24/7 ALS, advanced life support, emergency service in the entire county in Kansas where we reside. But, you know, prior to the casino, we didn't have those services. You know, we have elder services, healthcare services, fire, police. And so all of these are benefits, you know, from us having that. But prior to that, I mean, it really was dependent upon community members to support one another and provide for each other when we could.
I mentioned Shabana Lake State Park in northern Illinois is named after 19th century Potawatomi Chief Shabni, and you're a direct descendant. Can you tell me about your relationship? Is this your grandfather? And what memories do you have of Chief Chobney?
Yeah, so he is my grandfather. However, he passed in the 1800s, so a little before my time. But our family would always make an effort to come up and return to the lands throughout those almost two centuries of our removal. And so, again, growing up, I was always told the stories of, my grandfather and the actions that he took to ensure the survival of our people. And that's one of the things that, I think folks can overlook at times is during that time period, a lot of those leaders were making decisions that they thought were in the best interest of survival for our people. And so through those actions, he actually had a village site that was preserved through treaty, through two treaties, for him, his family, and our people. And again, as I mentioned earlier, those treaties are legally binding and should be upheld. But after the majority of our Potawatomi folks were removed to Kansas, he actually came down and upon his return to Illinois had found that squatters were occupying those lands and had actually physically removed his cabin from its site. And, land office had auctioned off some parcels within the reservation boundaries. And so all of this, were stories that were told to me as a child, with the kind of hope that as an adult, I would pick up some of that work if needed.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, and we're speaking with Rafael Wawasuk, a member of the Prairie Band Tribal Council. He lives in Kansas, but is visiting Illinois this week, and so he joins me now in studio. Rafael, I've never been to Shabana Lake State Park in northern Illinois, so just to set the scene for our listeners, can you describe what's on this land we're talking about here?
Yeah, so obviously there's a lake that was built in the 70s. Over a majority of the previous village site. And from what I understand, it has like some of the best fishing in the entire state. So that's impressive. There's a lot of beautiful scenery, a lot of, unbothered around the lake areas, if you will, unbothered nature. And there's a small 9-hole golf course that was already in existence over there. And then, there's a few residential areas. It's really, beautiful country, peaceful, and just real scenic. And so for myself, when I visit, I always try to envision what it would have been like prior to the lake being built and, when our people really occupied that area on a regular basis.
And can you talk a little bit about what this land means to the Prairie Band Potawatomi and also to you personally?
Yeah, so for me, the land is, it's obviously part of our home, part of our history, and part of our connection to these lands. But it also, for me, symbolizes hopefully a positive light for our younger generations to know that with persistence and going about things in a good way that, we can see that these past agreements are honored and, that hopefully will provide some hope to the younger folks to go ahead and persevere and stick to some of these efforts. Because for me, honestly, to see the land being returned to our people in my lifetime is something that I never thought I would experience after, hearing about it growing up, knowing that my grandparents, their parents all, had pursued this without much resolution. And then to be where we are today is just kind of an overwhelming feeling.
All right, we need to take a short break on the program, but when we return, more with Prairie Band Potawatomi Tribal Council member Rafael Wawasuk on the tribe gaining ownership of Illinois' Shabana Lake State Park and the historical significance of that. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. We're talking for this part of the hour about Illinois' recent transfer of Shabana Lake State Park to the Prairie Band Potawatomi Tribe, almost 180 years after the United States government seized and auctioned off part of the Illinois land that belonged to Potawatomi Chief Shabni. Just last year, the Prairie Band became the first federally recognized tribal nation in the state of Illinois. We're talking about all of this with Raphael Wawasuk, member of the Prairie Band Potawatomi's Tribal Council. Again, in order to make our schedules meet, we spoke with him yesterday. But because of that, we're not taking calls for this part of the show, but you can always let us know what you think. Our email is talk@21stshow.org. Raphael, you explained a little bit of the history of this land. Is there any additional detail you'd like to add in terms of how this land came to end up in the hands of the United States government?
Back in the 1800s, you know, we were forced to cede over 5 million acres of land to the United States and be removed west of the Mississippi, since that was the policy and the practice at the time. However, with these two sections of land that were reserved in 1829 Treaty of Prairie du Chien, those sections were to be held, in perpetuity forever for Chief Shabni and his family and his people. In the 1833 Treaty of Chicago, that was reaffirmed as the two sections of land was upheld and preserved for him, even with all of the additional acres of land being removed from tribal care at that time. And so, as I mentioned earlier, you know, in the 1840s, he came to Kansas, where most of our people were removed to. And when he came back to Illinois, you know, he had found that there were squatters and other disruptions to those sections of land, and he was actually forced over into Grundy County. But he never gave up the pursuit to have that corrected and be able to reestablish himself in those lands that were reserved by treaty for him and our people. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't accomplish that in his lifetime. And as I mentioned, we've had many generations that have worked on that. And, but fortunately, here we are today. And, you know, we've had some good folks advocating for us and working with us on this pursuit. And, we're excited and hopeful to move forward in a good way.
And is it correct that Chief Shabni was seen as an ally to the U.S. and European-descended settlers in that area? And what does it say that they still took his land?
Right. He made the decision that he was going to try a different path forward to ensure the survival of our people. A lot of his life experience was in battle. I mean, he had fought in numerous battles with and against French and British and Americans. And he was at a point in time in his life where, you know, he wanted to do something else. You know, he felt like he couldn't keep sending our folks into these battles knowing that death was certain there. And so he took these actions to try to ensure our survival. And I guess I am a testament of that today since I'm sitting here, you know, visiting with you. However, in doing so, yes, he made some decisions that were tough, I'm sure. And some of those was to actually, go against Black Hawk at the time. And, in part of his actions, what he did was, he knew that there were gonna, you know, Black Hawk was coming to, try to push back against the encroachment of his lands that, you know, he was assured that, you know, he would be able to occupy undisturbed. However, you know, there was continual encroachment. And so when he started to push back, Shabni made the decision to go and alert, settlers in the area of what was coming and to encourage them to take shelter. And through some of those actions, he must have made a good impression with the lawmakers at the time And they, you know, in recognition of his actions, again, like I said, reserved in two treaties, those sections of land. However, you know, things turned quickly, and it wasn't more than, you know, a couple decades later that he was found to be homeless in a manner. And yeah, and fighting for what should have been rightfully his. And I think that just kind of speaks to the times and the perception of folks that, you know, were on the other side of that and feeling that they could do, you know, just, I guess, whatever, you know, to occupy and establish themselves in those areas.
We're speaking with Rafael Wawasek with the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation. And you mentioned you never thought in your lifetime something like this would happen, that the land would be transferred back to your tribe. But that has happened earlier this year. Can you tell us about the process of getting to that point? What has it taken to get to this point of getting the land back?
Yes. In the mid-2000s, you know, the leadership of our tribe at the time made the decision to purchase back 130 acres within the original reservation boundaries. And the goal at the time was to have that land recognized into trust on reservation. And, you know, that's what we were able to accomplish in 2024. And so April 19th, 2024, you know, our chairman, Zeke Rupnik, signed over again the title to the land to be held by the United States government in trust for the benefit of our tribe. But what that really did was reaffirm, after all these years, that, you know, the United States was willing to uphold their legal agreements with us. And, you know, that was a really significant milestone. And, you know, then that kind of led into the legislation that was signed by Governor Pritzker earlier this year. And so after the land was taken into trust, which, you know, reaffirms the reservation, we had the conversations with IDNR, Illinois Department of Natural Resources here, about what does it look like moving forward? Because, you know, there are jurisdictional things that had to be sorted out. And part of those conversations, you know, as it is, or as it was, the boundary of the reservation kind of cut the lake in half. And so, you know, it was a conversation of, well, what do we do with that? You know, how do we manage if this half of the lake is reservation and the other half isn't? And, you know, through those conversations and then working with different lawmakers, they asked us if we would be open to just having the entire park lands turned over to our care and under our name.
Wow. So what changes now? I mean, I imagine it sounds like the Prairie Band Potawatomi are pretty settled in Kansas. And so now that the land is being returned, like, what does that mean on a practical level?
A lot of work.
Okay.
Yeah. But those are things that we're still sorting through. You know, we are meeting with IDNR regularly here. We understand, you know, that there's a lot of factors that need to be considered there. You know, they have, you know, some contracts in place with some folks that are doing different work around the area. There's also state employees that we want to be mindful of them, you know, as we move forward. And so really, we're just now getting started working through all of those details, because it seems like just about on a weekly basis, there's a new factor that we haven't considered and we need to account for.
And can you tell me about some of the ways that Prairie Band Potawatomi people maintain connection with this land, or have maintained connection with this land over the years, even though it's hundreds of miles between where the Prairie Band is based now and these acres up in northern Illinois?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you know, our folks would always travel back to the lands here in northern Illinois and visit with them. You know, I would come up early on in my tenure as a council member and, you know, walk the land and visit and kind of see things. You know, we still have a lot of our people that live in the Chicagoland area, and, you know, they maintained a presence here. We also, you know, at one time occupied all the way up into Wisconsin, and, you know, we've maintained those connections throughout the centuries, even being removed to Kansas. You know, our folks have always traveled back and forth because, you know, we have other areas that were village sites historically. And like I said, throughout those times, our folks have made an effort to maintain those connections, come back up when they're able to, and you know, again, share that through the generations and pass that knowledge down to our younger people so they don't ever forget that.
And I understand that after we talk, you're heading up there to visit that land. What do you plan to do while you're there this week?
Yeah, so, you know, I am, number one, just, you know, taking an inventory of we've got, you know, additional properties up there that we manage. And so taking an inventory of those, I have a few meetings lined up with a few individuals who are ready to assist us in, you know, addressing some of the work that has to be done as we work through this process with IDNR of the management agreements. And, you know, so it's a lot of meetings and a lot of discussion right now. And, you know, we're slowly starting to get traction as far as actually getting things moving in the area.
Yeah. And it sounds like this is a momentous time, but at the same time, this land, it's only a fraction of a fraction of the tribe's former land, right? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on what else would it take to keep righting the wrongs of the past.
Oh man, well, just like you allowing me this time in this space today, you know, is having an opportunity to have a conversation and to share education about, you know, some of the history. You know, a lot of folks aren't familiar with what the history, not just with our tribal nation, but with all the tribal nations and the relationship with the United States government is. And, you know, when I mentioned treaties, you know, that's a very specified area of law. And again, not everybody is familiar with those. And so just to have the opportunity to have conversations and allow folks to ask questions, to me, is one of the big, big steps that we need to keep working on and continue that moving forward.
And in just about a minute we have left, as we draw to a close here, what do you most want people to know and understand about, whether it's this particular issue or just about the Prairie Band Potawatomi? That's a big question.
That is a big question. Yeah. Well, I guess number one would be, if they have questions, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, we have a website with communications, you know, place for comment or ask questions. And then also, you know, I frequently will be in Illinois and around the area. And so I'm always open to visiting with folks and talking with them, because that's really what we want to do. You know, we would really want to be good neighbors. You know, we know what it's like. We know what it feels like to be, you know, forcibly disturbed in our homes. And so that's not an approach that we want to push on to anybody else throughout this process. We want to do our best to be good neighbors when we're, you know, working on what the details of all of this looks like in its final form. And, yeah, just, you know, would welcome and invite any questions or conversation.
Well, Raphael, we really appreciate your time. Raphael Wawasuk, a member of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Tribal Council, thank you so much for being here with me and for sharing your thoughts with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that's all the time we have for today. Coming up on tomorrow's show, you've heard of midlife crises, but what about quarter life? The years between adolescence and midlife come with their own unique challenges. We'll talk with a psychotherapist about what it takes to not just survive, but thrive during this stage of life. That's next time on The 21st Show. The 21st is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Leili Nazarova is an associate producer, and our digital producer is Kulsum Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow.